This is the Digging Deeper podcast, where we engage in today's questions from a Christian perspective. Hello, everyone. I'm here with the director of Southern Evangelical Seminary's Philosophy and Theology PhD program, Dr. Brian Huffling. Cool. Well, let's just jump in. So, what is religion? How would you answer that?
What is religion? So, I used to teach a class on that, and it is notoriously hard to define because not all religions have the same component. So, for example, some religions or most religions have a deity, right, like a god. But then you've got religions like Confucianism or Buddhism that really don't have a deity. And so, do they count as religion? If you open up, if I were to pull one of my books off the shelf and open up to the table of contents for, you know, all the different religions around the world, you'd see Confucianism and Buddhism. They don't have a god. So a broad definition that I used to use in my textbook was basically, I know there's going to be some weaknesses of this definition, but basically it is some kind of an acknowledgement of something transcendent that is holy or other than us, unless you're a pantheist, which again, all this depends on your worldview. Mm-hmm. Something that you're trying to go after that transcends you or some kind of transcendence that you're trying to get after. And normally that'll have a moral component, oftentimes, but not always, it'll have a life after death component, scripture maybe, that kind of thing. But normally religion has to do with you're trying to attain something that is more than yourself and more transcendent. But that definition is problematic because it's too broad and vague because, you know, football, and in some instances, these definitions could fit some of these, fit some of this. So it just depends. So do we want to make deity a necessary requirement for religion or not? But in general, religion is a practice or a lifestyle that people have to follow after some kind of transcendent holy being in a general sense.
Okay.
Yeah. Not too broad.
Yeah. That's tough to define. Do you think, could you argue that maybe everyone is religious?
If you want to maintain, because some people want to maintain that even atheists are religious. It just depends on your definition of religion. Mm-hmm. We all have views of God and meaning and, you know, where we're going as humans, where we came from, the meaning or whatever of life, morality. So if those are necessary components for religion, then one might be able to argue that an atheist is religious. And some people do, because they have things that are somewhat in common with religion and how they practice or whatever. It depends on the atheist, too. So an argument could be made for that, although a counter-argument probably be made for the opposite side, too. It just depends on how you want to define it.
Yeah, and it starts to be a useless word then if it's like...
It can be.
If everybody's super, you know, so I guess...
Yeah.
Yeah, so that makes sense. That makes sense. I have heard that, though. People say atheists are religious because they have a stance on God, and therefore it's... But again, that's what is the practical use of a definition?
Yeah. And for a practical purpose, I would probably say they're not religious unless they just exhibit some kind of characteristics that are necessary for religion. But it would still be probably too different to maintain that they're in the same sense that we are religious.
Yeah. Okay. And so you have a PhD in philosophy of religion.
Right.
And so what did your study of religion look like?
In the PhD program or?
Well, overall, because I know you've studied more than just in the PhD. Like, I know, what were your previous degrees and
so I have a BA in history from Lee University, and I triple majored my master's program with Southern Evangelical Seminary in apologetics, biblical studies, and philosophy.
Triple crown.
Just got a master's degree with the Air Force in a totally different area, so I'm glad I have that done. And then the PhD was in philosophy of religion. And so the study of religion mostly has been Christian for the most part, but when you start looking at philosophy of religion, it's going to normally be broader than just Christian. It typically, though, is Western. If you're studying in Europe or the U.S., you're going to more often than not study Western, like arguments for God's existence and what is God like. Does he change? Is he in time? Is he made up of various parts? Do we affect him in some way? Mm-hmm. And those are more on the quote-unquote generic theistic level. But certainly some classes, even in that field, or some areas in that field, will be inherently Christian. Like, they'll try to look at the Trinity, incarnation, the nature of petitionary prayer, inspiration, all from a philosophical point of view. So it just really depends on exactly what we're looking at.
Okay, gotcha. So you focus on Christianity, but also just Western religions, and it's kind of all grouped in. It's more zoomed back than just
right.
We read the Bible, and so it's a more broad study.
Right.
So what I've heard often, and just regularly over the course of my life, and just the idea that religions are the same, or especially if you look at, like, you know, religions that came from similar places, like if you look at Islam and Judaism and Christianity, and, you know, like what are some similarities? Like, why do people feel that way? Because I think there's a lot of truth in that, right? It's like, these are very similar, and there's striking, you know, these names and these characters exist in all three, and yet these three are, you know, if you asked, I think probably anyone from a devout follower of any of these, they'd probably be like, no, this is different. Obviously, because by nature, they're saying yeah. I'm a Christian, not, and, you know, practicing Jew, or I'm a, you know, Islamic, not a Christian. So,
right. Yeah. So they all fall into the great monotheistic religions camp. And what that means is that, so monotheism is the idea there's one God. So theism comes from the Greek word theos, for God. So theology is the study of God. And so Judaism, Christianity, and Islam are all monotheistic, in that they worship one God. And there are a lot of similarities between our views of God. Well, even if we were to talk about Christians, we have different views of our God. Like, is God in time or not? There's various views on that. But in general, we can talk about the theistic view of God. He's a creator. Traditionally, he seemed to be eternal or non-temporal, non-changeable, immutable, immaterial, infinite, all that. And then there's this question, well, if that's the case, then are we just worshiping the same God? Mm-hmm. And as you said, well, it doesn't really seem like it, because the Christian view of God is of a Trinity. Mm-hmm. And we have the incarnation of Jesus, and both Jews and Muslims reject the Trinitarian notion of God. And so I think right there shows that we're not worshiping the exact same God, although we have similarities among those three.
Okay. And so I think any Christian and, like, heavily churched followers would have an idea of the Trinity. Can you, and also know that this is a tough question. So how would you define the Trinity?
Maybe. The Trinity, okay. The Trinity is just the idea that there's one God, one being, that is expressed in three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're not this, there's a sense in which they're not the same, that the Father is not the Son is not the Spirit, and so forth. Mm. And then they don't together, when people try to define the Trinity, it's real easy to go off into heresy or get off the orthodox trail. But one being in three persons is pretty much the necessary requirements to be Trinitarian. They're not, so some wrong views would be the three links in a chain. Well, those are different beings. That they don't meet the one being requirement. Same thing with water. You know, water can be a solid liquid and a gas. Well, they can't be all that at the same time. That's considered modalism. Like, God takes on the mode of the Father, the mode of the Son, the mode of the Spirit. So that doesn't meet requirements either. It's three separate persons simultaneously making up one being.
Okay.
Now, there's nothing in our experience to help us make a lot of sense of that. And God is ultimately going to be mysterious and infinite, and we're finite, so we're not going to be able to capture that. But we can try to understand it such that it's not a contradiction.
Okay, yeah, gotcha. So the Trinity is a distinguishing factor of Christianity versus Islam.
Right,
and,
right.
Which I've heard also people, I think that's a disputable point from, in, like, I guess, Islam and Judaism perspective of, like, well, how can we all be in the group under the umbrella of a monotheistic religion? And also you say that there's these three beings, you know, mm-hmm. like I've heard that, contention right, right. with the idea of the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, what, So what do you do if you hear someone say, hey, like, I think, you know, all religions are maybe, I don't know if people say that they're the same, but there's at least this idea of there's a lot of overlap. So why don't you guys just get along? Why is there, you know, so much hostility? Why is there even maybe a divide, like to an extreme case, you know, why, like, if you guys all just believe in a God, why do you feel the need to separate yourselves from Jews and Islam or believer Christians or, you know, what do you do with those?
So people normally tend to emphasize what's in common and don't look at what's not in common. And most people want to give the impression or the idea that the core of all religions are the same. When I think actually that's been demonstrated to be false, that actually the core of religions are very different. So if you look at, for example, Winford Cordwin has a good book on this. It's called A Tapestry of Faiths. And if you look at that book and you listen to what he has to say, he demonstrates, I think, convincingly that the core of religions are not really the same. They're very different, and that's what makes them what they are. So Christianity teaches, for example, that there's one God, there's one way to salvation. You need salvation. Not all religions teach that, that we have a sin nature and so forth. And so we have to look at what the core is teaching, not simply what the tangential agreements are. And once you start doing that, then the similarities break down pretty quickly.
Yeah. I think it's fascinating because I guess if you think of these different religions and you think it kind of feels like a trunk with different branches. Mm-hmm. It feels like we all kind of, or if all three of these, like specifically these three religions, have this idea of a one God who is immutable in all these things, but then some people are kind of like, well, there's this and there's that. And so how do we distinguish the difference between a core? Like, what is the core of these religions? Is it, you know, is there maybe confusion about what the core of these three ideas is? Or is it, because I feel like isn't the fact that there's one God a core idea that, like, you might be like, well, that feels pretty big. Yeah. You know, that feels like a pretty foundational construct that might be a pillar of this, you know, of the unity of your guys' views.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so not to pick on Oprah or people like that, but when you hear this kind of Oprah gospel that's presented to reflect Christianity, everything really revolves around love. And of course, that's important in Christianity as well. But then there's the exclusion to, well, we're sinful and we need a savior. And we start adding those kind of things. And again, what the core is going to be is going to be, to put it in a fancy phrase, the sine qua non, or that without which you don't have the religion. So the core is going to be the things that if you didn't have those, it wouldn't be what it is. So you can't have Christianity without sin, because Christianity is the view that God came to save us from our sin. So a lot of religions don't teach that, or people who want to make Christianity out to be, well, it's just we all should get along and love each other. Well, that's missing in a whole pillar of what Christianity is even about. So we have to understand what is it that is being taught, that if you didn't have that, you just wouldn't have the religion. So there are some fringe things that maybe you can disagree on, but when it comes to the core, and this is part of some of the debates that I work in as well, because there's Christians who think, well, if you think God changes, and that's not really an infinite, the true God. If you think he changes and is in time, there's all these debates that we have in philosophy of religion. If you think God is physical, that's a problem. If you think, we don't have sin or we can be saved outside of Christ, these are the core, some of the core teachings that we would want to look at.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I like that Latin term you use that I will not try to repeat, but
I just made it up.
I was convinced. No, I like that. Makes me think of, like, even when Jesus says, like, I'm the cornerstone, which, right, I guess a visual I would, and maybe a lot of people would think of is like, all right, well, the quantity of similarities is what makes these all the same. And if there's a small quantity of things that are different by this perspective I'm holding, then they're probably pretty much the same, and you should mm-hmm. just overlook these small things. But even if you think about Jesus saying, I'm the cornerstone, like, it's like, that might not be the biggest stone in the house, just when you look at it, it might not be the, but it is what is standing on.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And as you just mentioned, these aren't small differences. I mean, Jesus saying, I am the only way.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. For sure. Absolutely. No, and I think you're right. And I didn't mean to
diminish. No, I think you made a good point that you know, people want to say there's just small differences. Well, they're not small differences. They're major differences.
I mean, like, from a distance, it looks like the mm-hmm. same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And so that's why the importance of, I guess, just the foundational, the core,
right.
the thing for which without, it's no longer what it was.
Right.
And with Christianity, that is who Jesus says he is. And then the fact that we're sinful and need Jesus so that we can be in relationship with the
right.
Father. So I don't know if how much you studied Islam and Judaism, but could you speak to the core of those religions?
Yeah, they're not certainly not my main area, but you know, the core of Judaism basically is going to be, and it depends on what branch. I guess there's a different denominations or branches of Judaism, and they're pretty different in terms of how they interpret their teachings and how that is worked out in their everyday life. But Torah, the Tanakh, what we call the Old Testament, is going to be central. Mm. That religion is more about obedience and following after God. It's not about, like in Christianity, where we have a personal relationship with Jesus in that regard. It's more like we have the law that's set before us to follow it. And with Islam, it's to, again, follow the teachings of the Quran as given to them by Muhammad. And there's going to be some variations of interpretation there as well, but that's going to be part of the core is going to be, you know, read the Quran. You have to do the five pillars that you have to do. Mm. You know, becoming a Muslim, doing your prayers, doing the pilgrimage and the fasting and all that.
Okay, so it's like saying all three of these things are the same would be like, all right, yeah, Islam minus the five pillars of the Quran, and Judaism minus like adherence to the Torah, and Christianity minus Jesus is declaring that we need, that he is our path to God and forgiveness. And so like, yeah, if you, and I think, I don't know, I do think that's what people mean when they say they're similar, because I haven't heard anyone be like, well, you know, the Quran and the Torah are kind of the same. Like, no one actually talks about that. They're just like, yeah. Well, these broad concepts look the same from X far back, this
yeah,
far
the
back.
Surface. Yeah, and as soon as you go below that surface, it's very different.
Yeah. Now, what about, and you said you studied history in your undergrad, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Well, I'm not sure your expertise in this area, but I've also heard people say, well, you know, Christianity came from Judaism, Islam came from Christianity. And I feel like the average person who heard that would be like, yeah, that's what happened. So actually, yeah, now that you mention it, why do you guys disagree? Because it seems like it's just this linear progression,
right.
or this kind of, you know, at best just kind of like cousins, like what is, you know, what's the deal with all this disagreement? Could you break that down a little bit?
Yeah, so I mean, there is a sense in which it's true that Christianity is somewhat of an outgrowth of Judaism, in the sense that Jesus fulfilled the law, he fulfilled the prophets, but he opened it up to the Gentiles, which really radicalized the teachings that the Jews had, that they were and they're still a special people of God, but this has been opened up to everyone who responds. But Jesus fulfilled the law so that we don't have to keep the Torah. And if you weren't Jewish, you don't have to anyway. But you don't have to keep the law and do all the sacrificial system and all that. Mm. And then it's somewhat true that Islam has a connection with that, because they do teach that there's aspects of what we call the Old and New Testaments that are true. They think a lot of it's false. Mm. Like they don't think Jesus, first of all, ever died, let alone was raised from the dead. Mm. So they attach onto some things that are taught in both Testaments, but they deny what's incredibly, you know, again, the sine qua non, the deity of Jesus. You can't reject the death of Jesus and be similar. I mean, so one religion teaches Jesus died, one teaches that he didn't. One teaches he was God and the only way to salvation, and one teaches that he's not, or those are just radically different.
Yeah.
It would be like saying something like, well, capitalists and socialists both have a view of money, so they're the same. Well, they're radically different. So just because they have views of the same material objects that they're studying, their interpretation and overall views of them are going to be so different that they can't be the same position.
Yeah, yeah,
that's if really that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it does. So if Islam doesn't teach that Jesus died, is it? What do they teach that Jesus that happened to Jesus? Then I'm actually not really familiar with.
Well,
that.
They teach that that God basically took Jesus. It's really weird because Muslims believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, performed miracles, lived a sinless life, and never died. Muhammad, for whatever, didn't do any of that. So until you get into the Hadith, you start seeing miracles. There's no miracles in the Quran. So there's a kind of a higher view of Jesus in the Quran than there is of Muhammad, ironically, and a higher view in the Quran of Jesus than liberal Christian scholars, which is kind of funny. So there's some dispute about that, but some people think he was replaced with Judas, or I think Simon of Cyrene was one possibility, maybe not Judas, but he was replaced by somebody, and it was made to appear that Jesus was killed, but he wasn't.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. Thanks for breaking that down. I think I might have heard that, but and that's a pretty big distinction if you look close enough at what these two things, these three belief systems are at their core. So what do we do with that, and what do we do with the fact that these three of like the biggest worldviews, religions vying for power and vying for, power might not be the best word, but also sometimes is a good word. vying for this claim on what reality is. What do we do with the differences? Like how do, you know, and maybe, I don't know, as Christians even, like if you're like, all right, well, this is different. What's the responsibility with that, you know, distinction?
If I'm following your question, I think that our responsibility is to figure out to the best that we can, you know, which one of these religions is true, and then try to seek after truth. We as rational human beings, naturally, as Aristotle says, we have a natural inclination and desire and curiosity for the truth. And so, you know, people don't always associate truth with religion. When I used to have my class in the secular school, I would ask them, if you're comfortable, tell me what religion you hold to and why. And almost no one, even the Christians, said anything about it being true. It was all about being practical, or they liked it. We have a responsibility as rational beings to follow what's true. And so if you see these differences between all these religions, you have to ask, okay, well, per the law of non-contradiction and all that, these can't be, Jesus can't have died and not died. It's one or the other. So I think our responsibility is to try to investigate and figure out which of these religions are true, and then when we can discover that, then go after it with all that we have. And is that tracking your question? I'm not sure if I'm following you.
That's better. No, okay. If I had asked the question better, that would have been the perfect answer. So.
Okay.
So what are some means to determining these true? Because I mean, even if we just, and you could open this conversation up to other religions, to maybe none of these are true, but even if we just focus on these three, and I, you know, even just statistically the amount of people that believe one of these three things, and they believe that with all of their being. So what are the tools for parsing through what's true and what is like, what's not true?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was interested in when I was especially in college and about senior year. So I was a history major, and I was thinking, okay, what can we do? I don't really want to teach at this time because I don't want to be poor my whole life. So I don't want to just be a history teacher. Not that you're always poor in that regard. I mean, I'm a teacher now. So I thought, well, law school likes history, but I couldn't shake this idea or this desire to figure out, okay, I believe Christianity is true, but I really can't defend it or tell you why. And so I did at our school the famous MA Google search for Christian apologetics. If you don't know what Christian apologetics is, it's just, you know, trying to defend a position or provide a rational account for it. And so one of the best schools that I found for it, when I work there now, full disclosure, is Southern Evangelical Seminary. And so it depends on how much you're wanting to. You can certainly go to school. You can get a certificate. You can get a degree. You can just read books. You can listen to podcasts. You can go to our conference, the conference that you're putting on here coming up. That's a great way to learn. Figure out who's teaching on these topics. Follow their blogs, their podcasts, read their books. Enroll in school if you really want to get in the deep end. And figure out what people are saying and what they teach, what religions teach. Read the primary sources, read the Bible. You read the Bible, you got Judaism and Christianity. And then if you want to learn about Islam, read the Quran. And just figure out how you want to go about it, whether it's listening in your car on the way to work or listening on your computer at home or whatever, and just trying to figure out the best people on these topics and see what they have to say.
Yeah, so is it a matter of primary documents? Is it a balance between primary documents and perspective and even philosophy and what have you found to be the convincing and compelling mix of primary documents, historical, philosophical arguments, scientific arguments, reason, what have you found to be the combination that you're like, and I am absolutely 100% certain, or just I've been certain, here's my articulation of that certainty?
Okay. Yeah, so as a classical apologist and philosopher, we bring in everything as opposed to some other schools of thought that really don't want to get into philosophy. A school of thought today called presuppositionalism. They really don't want to go there. But we think, God has made us rational creatures, so we worship him with our reason. We investigate with our reason. But we do, as you say, want to look at the primary source. We don't want to say, well, Huffling says this is what Christianity is. Well, then go to the Bible and see if it really says that. Mm. So you want to read the primary sources. But you also want to look at the secondary sources because they're going to help explain things like commentaries, theologies, or just books and that kind of thing. But it's important to go to the primary sources to get it from the horse's mouth. Mm. Of course, if it's true, if a religion is true, it really shouldn't contradict anything, whether it be science, history, archaeology, a good philosophy. We can differ on what philosophy is true or not, but it shouldn't. If something's true, it shouldn't contradict other areas that we know are also true.
Mm-hmm. Now, what would you do with experience in that realm? Because I think there's a love-hate relationship with relying on experience. Because we all realize that it's not fully reliable because it's our perception of what happened. But at the same time, we also, I think, when we're honest, we're like, I cannot separate my experience, my upbringing, the people around me, what I've heard all my life. And I think, honestly, in a cynical way, there can be this almost hopelessness of like, well, you just have heard that your whole life and that's why you believe it. Or you just, haven't explored fully, or you just, this one coincidence happened and you were like, it was an emotional experience and you bought in. Is experience something to dismiss? Is this something to fully lean on? What are your thoughts on that?
That's a great question. I've been in some Pentecostal circles, which are much heavier on the experience than I would be now. And I've also seen other people in various religions have an emotional, get emotional, have almost a breakdown. And we can talk about all kinds of people having an experience. They have an experience of, so for example, I mentioned I was getting a master's degree with the Air Force. My research project was basically on UFOs. Aliens and not aliens as much, but national security. So one area though with a UFO experience is people have these experiences and they think they're aliens. Well, I think there's a really good argument to show they're really not aliens. They're actually probably demonic spirits that are making you think they're aliens. We had this experience, so we can have an experience of something and it be wrong. And so it's hard to say you want to dismiss it outright. But we also don't want to bank our everything we think about it and certainly our eternal destination on a feeling that we have. Mm. And so there are a lot of people, and I go as far as say, a lot of times today people say, well, I feel God calling me to do this, or I feel led to do this. I think we need to be careful with that too, because first, the Bible doesn't ever say that we're supposed to feel something like that. And I think that we have put a lot of emphasis on these kinds of experiential aspects that they can be dangerous, because there's no way to know if it's just an emotional experience. The AC came on, hit me, and I've got goosebumps. Is that the Holy Spirit? You got to be careful with that. Mm. But there's people I really trust and look up to as fathers in the faith, as it were, in my life, who have had experiences that I have no way of explaining. Mm. And think that, well, we have to just, I don't hold that exact view maybe that they hold to, but they've had this experience, so how do you explain it? Mm. We have to figure out, if you're having experience, is it in accordance, or does it contradict with Scripture and what we know to be true already?
Thanks for listening. To hear more from Dr. Brian Huffling, join us at digdeeperdc.com.